airline flights resume out of Heathrow. The ash cloud also forced changes for the military. And IATA wants changes in the way Europe responds next time. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, April 21st, 2010. The 15-day, 6-million-mile mission of the Space Shuttle Discovery finally came to a close at 9:08 a.m. Eastern Time yesterday morning. The landing came after two wave-offs due to iffy weather at Kennedy Space Center. Atlantis is on deck now with an expected launch date of May 14th. Discovery has just one more flight on the manifest, the final flight before the shuttle fleet retires in September. London Heathrow International Airport resumed limited airline operations last night, and the FAA has issued a statement in support of the decision by European regulators. At the same time, the agency says safety is the main priority for both U.S. and European aviation authorities, and the ash cloud and the weather which pushes it around will be monitored closely. That ash cloud has affected more than civilian flights. Pentagon spokesman Brian Whitman says flight ops were curtailed at U.S. bases in England and Germany due to the shutdown of ATC services by Eurocontrol. The biggest effect has been longer flights for wounded from Iraq and Afghanistan to hospitals in the West, but U.S. officials say evacuation needs are being met. Unlike civilian airliners, the military at least has options for in-flight refueling on long routes. The International Air Transport Association is ready to conclude that European governments blew it in their response to the hazards posed by that volcanic ash cloud. IATA Director General Giovanni Bisignani says there was, quote, no risk assessment, no consultation, no coordination, and no leadership. This crisis is costing airlines at least $200 million a day in lost revenues, and the European economy is suffering billions of dollars in lost business. In the face of such dire economic consequences, it is incredible that Europe's transport ministers have taken 5 days to organize a teleconference, unquote. Bisignani has called for an urgent meeting of the ICAO, that's the United Nations Aviation Wing, to define government responsibility for decisions to open or close airspace in a coordinated and effective way, based on real data and special operating procedures. Up next on ANN, NTSB will hold a forum on professionalism. Southwest says it will cut ties with WestJet. And United Flight Attendants say no merger will happen without them on board. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 21st. I'm Paul Platt. Randy Babbitt says professionalism can't be regulated, but Deborah Hersman is ready to at least study it. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board will hold a 3-day safety forum on professionalism in aviation beginning Tuesday, May 18th. NTSB Chairman Deborah Hersman herself will chair it. She says, quote, NTSB's investigations into the mid-air collision over the Hudson River last August, the crash of Colgan Air Flight 3407 in February of 2009, and the October 2009 Northwest pilots overflight of their intended airport provided the impetus for this forum, because all of them clearly demonstrated the hazards to aviation safety when pilots and air traffic controllers depart from standard operating procedures and established best practices. During the forum, we will gather information on the screening, selection, and training of pilots and controllers and methods to reinforce professionalism and excellence, unquote. The keynote speaker will be Dr. Tony Kern, an internationally recognized human factors and pilot performance expert. The board says the proceedings will be open to the public and available online at ntsb.gov. Southwest Airlines has informed Canada's WestJet it intends to terminate an agreement between the two airlines to offer connecting service between the U.S. and Canada, saying changes requested by WestJet were a deal killer. Southwest Executive VP Bob Jordan explained, quote, upon reviewing the number of changes that WestJet has requested, we have decided that it is in the best interest of both parties to move forward independently. We remain interested in exploring the possibility of one day offering service to Canada if it makes sense for Southwest and for our customers. That would not rule out future codeshare relationships with Canadian carriers or flying north of the border ourselves, unquote. Senator Charles Schumer of New York, the Democrat who's co-sponsored a bill fighting airline charges for carry-on bags, apparently got the attention of the industry. Schumer says he's been personally contacted by Delta, American, JetBlue, United, and U.S. Airways, and all have committed to allow passengers to bring carry-on bags free. The bill would call on the Treasury Department to close a loophole that does not charge taxes on fees that are not considered reasonably necessary for air transportation. Spirit Airlines, which triggered the outrage by announcing a fee for any bag stowed in the overhead bins, said taxes weren't the point and that the intent was to speed the boarding process. United Airlines pilots made it clear recently that management could expect resistance from the union if it pursues a merger with U.S. Airways. Now, United flight attendants have fired their own shot over the bow. Greg Davidovich, Association of Flight Attendants CWA president at United, warned, quote, "Management needs to get busy with contract negotiations for the improvements flight attendants are due before executing any consolidation plans. Our union will also forcefully oppose any merger that will cause flight attendant job loss. Consolidation involving United Airlines won't be consummated without the involvement of United's flight attendants," unquote. Still ahead, CAP orders another dozen Skylanes. Cessna offers WAZ GPS for legacy citations. And unable to find a date, Eads will come to the prom alone. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, April 21st. I'm Paul Plack. Cessna reports receipt of an order last week for 12 Skylanes from Civil Air Patrol, Cessna's largest fleet operator. The Skylanes will be delivered before the end of this year. John Doman, Cessna's VP for Worldwide Propeller Sales, says CAP loves its 182s. Quote, "The Skylane is a versatile four-place aircraft that's well-suited for the critically important CAP mission profile. We're glad to be able to support CAP's increasingly important mission and value our long-term partnership," unquote. The CAP fleet includes 550 single-engine piston aircraft. Cessna has also announced the availability of a WAZ GPS upgrade for Citation CJ1 Plus, 2 Plus, CJ3, and Encore Plus aircraft, and certain Citation XL and XLS models. The modification is available at all 9 Cessna-owned Citation service centers. Sikorsky and Lockheed Martin have signed an agreement to compete jointly for the U.S. Navy's revived VXX presidential helicopter program. The agreement casts Sikorsky as the prime contractor, and its H-92 medium-lift helicopter would be the basis for the presidential transport, with Lockheed Martin as the major subsystems supplier. The two companies have jointly submitted a response to the Navy's request for information. The document details how the team would design and manufacture the new Marine One. The companies have extensive experience working together during 4 decades developing, delivering, and supporting 400 operational SH-60B and MH-60RS maritime helicopters to the U.S. Navy. And Eads has reportedly decided to go it alone on a bid for KCX. Reuters reports the firm has been unable to attract a partner, but will use U.S. suppliers, including GE, Honeywell, and Rockwell Collins. But for the design work itself, no U.S. company will share in that classified process, nor help manage it. The Wall Street Journal reports that Ralph Crosby, chairman of Eads' U.S. unit, told reporters yesterday, quote, "When you've got the best, you've got to offer the best," unquote. He said the bid would again involve the A330-based KC-45 tanker, and plans still call for the finishing work to be done in Alabama. The value of the contract is estimated at $40 billion. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the first part of FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt's address at AEA 2010. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.